Today on More to Life, stress less. Overwhelmed by challenges in your life or relationships, we'll help you discover ways to manage stress and live in God's peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, stress less. I like the sound of that. How about you?
Oh, heavy emphasis on the less, please, for everyone.
Well, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed by challenges in your life or relationships, we want to help you discover ways to manage stress gracefully and live in God's peace. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, I hesitate to pitch to you, Lisa, because you don't know anything about dealing with stress at all. Right?
Oh, like, hush. Just hush. No, I mean, we all deal with stress. Exactly. At some point, all the time, part of what's stressful is when it just comes at you as sort of a surprise. Mm-hmm. Other times it's when it all builds up, and that's, you know, I mean, we are definitely dealing with a little bit of that compared to other times in our lives. Like our guys in our booth were just saying, hey, did you get the plumbing fixed in the house yet? No, we did not.
Still dripping through the ceiling.
Still going on there.
It's fine. It's pretty fine.
It's coming from a place where we probably will have to tear out walls, so no stress there. And just like all the other little things that can go wrong, and the big things. And then if you've got illness in any way, shape, or form, which so many people that we know and love are dealing with right now, and everything just kind of makes you go, I can't do this. I'm twitching. I don't know. And then it gets worse because the feeling of the stress puts us into that sort of state of panic, and then we find ourselves not treating ourselves or other people as well. And then that gives us more stress. And it can really, really feel like it's out of control. But Jesus constantly just spoke peace to all the disciples who were stressing, even when he came into the upper room and they were there hiding from the law and grieving over his death and being confused and being frightened. I mean, talk about stress. And his resurrected body came into the room and said, peace be unto you. You know, God wants us to have peace. But we also shouldn't feel guilty when we have stress. We just need to lean into him more. But how?
And approach these things differently.
Yes.
That's what we want to help you do. We'll talk more about that throughout the course of the program. But tell us, what problem in your life or relationship is stressing you out today? You know, maybe you're having to handle a situation you'd just rather not deal with, or navigate a conflict that's got your stomach in knots, or deal with a person who knows just how to push your buttons.
Mm-mm-mm.
Maybe your head's just spinning from all the things you've got to get done and you don't know where to start. However, stress is stealing your peace, let us help you stress less and live more. 877-573-7825. I'll just share personally, this last part really kind of hit me, the thing about your head spinning from all the things you have to get done. I literally woke up yesterday morning at like 5:30, like bolt upright, eyes flew open. And like, oh my gosh, there's this project that I'm working on, and I didn't have any sense of a timeline for it, and there were several pieces that I needed information for that I wasn't sure how I was going to get, and I just woke up in a blind panic. And You know, I accidentally woke Lisa up in the process of my own little panic.
Blind panic does wake me up when one of my loved ones is going through
it. And very, very lovingly, we actually got up and kind of talked through a plan and kind of made some steps and actually came up with a timeline. And we, you know, the point I'm bringing this up is, you know, nobody's immune from this stuff. But the good news is, no matter how stressful the situation is, it's really about how we approach that event, that stressful situation, that determines whether it's stressful or not.
Well, let me say that. It really does matter how you approach it. So you were in this blind panic state, rightfully so. We were up against some deadlines, and certain people hadn't gotten you the stuff you need to meet those deadlines, and it all just hit. Plus, you were like, we're further into this month than we thought. And so you went through that, and I said, no, we're going to go. We're going to sit in the living room together. You get your schedule. I get my schedule. I'm getting a piece of paper, and we are doing a brain dump on this, and then we are scheduling stuff, and we were going to do this. And you said, let me take a shower first. And I said, no. No, and I very rarely just put my foot down and say, no, you can't do something. But I did yesterday because I knew you'd just start to get more nervous. Well, you were thinking about it all in the shower. I'm like, this first, then we start our day. And once we did that, we took a different approach to it, you were able to start to calm down and say, I can do this. This will work. I can make this happen. I'll do this, this, and this today.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, all the stuff none of the stuff I needed to do yesterday morning at 5:30 got done. But now that I have a plan for doing it and a way to, I can see how it can get done, I'm not stressed about it anymore. And that's the thing that, you know, it's really all about how do we get to that place where we can approach the stress differently.
And it can be big projects like that. It can be simple things. Our oldest daughter was telling me something that was brilliant yesterday. I text with back and forth with her all the time, and she had just been like having these mornings with her 3-year-old. And yesterday she was like, I'm having a great day. Everything's wonderful. I said, what's different? And she said, I got tired of the moods and the behaviors, and so I had a dance party. The first thing we did this morning, we went down to the kitchen. Breakfast was, you know, getting ready in the toaster oven. I turned on the music and I had a dance party. And he's in a great mood, and I'm in a great mood, and we're doing great. And it's just the one difference of not trying to like change the mood
I like about that, though, that's a really good example, because I think that's the kind of thing where most parents would say, well, this is just the way it is, everybody's grumpy in the morning.
Yeah,
but she gave herself permission to say, I don't want that,
right?
What could I do about it? And she came up with an answer that worked,
and worked brilliantly.
And when we are able to give ourselves permission to listen to the Holy Spirit,
exactly,
and say, you know what, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, we could approach this in a way that maybe allows us to experience joy. Go figure. Or at least some peace. Anyway, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825.
Because if you're thinking, well, you don't know my stress pop checks, and I can't think of a different way to do it, let's brainstorm with you today. 877-573-7825.
Well, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it could possibly help you manage stress more gracefully, well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections when he was Pope about how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation and his work through salvation history.
Receptivity is the term that the Theology of the Body uses to describe the ability to attend to the voice of the Holy Spirit, as you were saying, Greg, even in stressful situations. And of course, that's going to take some practice. When we're stressed, either in general or because of a particular problem, our cortex, which is our thinking brain, tends to shut down, and our limbic system, which is our feeling and reacting brain, takes over. And when that happens, instead of being able to turn to God, discern His will, and make plans to let us cooperate with His grace, we become reactive. That is, we look for things outside of ourselves to feel better, whether that means trying to change other people, or trying to get control of everything, or even indulging in bad or even sinful habits.
So, in order to break out of that trap, we need to learn to step back from the stressful situation long enough to turn inward, calm our body down, and bring that situation to God, and listen to what he's saying to us so that we can identify the next steps toward a grace-filled solution. And this is exactly what Lisa and I did yesterday morning when I woke up in that little panic I was sharing you about. You know, so step one is to remember to do it, right? To fight that urge to keep trying to do whatever pops in my head in an attempt to fix everything. Step two, I need to intentionally slow myself down. Intentionally act and speak a little slower than I want to as a way of bringing down my emotional temperature. Step three, pray. You know, Lord, I've got a lot of feelings about this, but help me hear your voice. Teach me how to respond to this challenge in a way that's going to help me be my best self and work for the ultimate good of everyone involved. And then finally, step four, don't try to solve the whole problem at once. You know, just identify the next step that's going to allow you to be your best self and challenge the people around you to be their best selves too. And then you take whatever happens after that back to God and rinse and repeat. You know, this process lets us cooperate with God's design of our brain to be receptive to his grace rather than reactive in the situation, and to do his will in the face of any challenge. So today on More to Life, we want to help you stress less. Whether it's just your head spinning because of all the stuff you got to get done, like mine was yesterday, or you got a particular problem in your life or relationships that's stressing you out, we want to help you handle those situations gracefully, identify the next steps to stress less. 877-573-7825. Again, that number 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people and situations that are stressing us out. You tell us that if we take your yoke on us and learn from you, that you will teach us how to respond to all the stressful things, all the things that make us feel heavy burdened and worn out and tired. So we ask you, Lord, to teach us how to respond to those people, those situations, that just mass of things that we have to handle in ways that allow us to be calm, to be receptive, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, so that we can hear your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us step by step, teaching us how to work through those stressors, to find the solutions that you would have us find, so that instead of just reacting and falling apart, we can glorify you, even in those most stressful situations, and bear witness to the power of your grace and glory in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Stress Less. And the number is 877-573-7825 as we talk about how to approach those problems in your life, relationships that are stressing you out, or just handle those multiple stressors that we all have to contend with in a way that allows us to stay connected to God, his grace, and our best selves. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lori, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hey there, Lori. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. What can I am calling from Florida, and unfortunately, I lost my house in one of the hurricanes.
I'm so sorry.
Lived in a FEMA trailer for 16 months, and that's not my stress. I actually was blessed enough to finally find a home, a brand new construction home. Unfortunately, I had some problems, and, you know, the builder just does not respond. They don't actually even have a phone number. You have to email them, and they don't get back to you. And I've been living in this house for 9 months now with all these problems and no response, and just so much anxiety and stress, and I'm just having a difficulty letting it go. and accepting that they're not going to do anything. I just keep, you know, trying to devise plans to get responses, and just knowing that if they haven't responded by now, they're not going to do anything. But I just cannot let this stress go in my life.
So let me ask you, Lori, just so I understand the situation here. So you're in the house, and you're saying that you're trying to contact this builder. What is this? Do you have to work with this particular builder? There's a contract there. Is it like what is it possible to go to other people? Kind of what's the situation there? Just so I understand.
Unfortunately, you know, it's a brand new house, which I'm blessed to have, and they give you a 1-year warranty, but they won't answer you to do anything.
So they're waiting out the warranty, so that
you need to get a lawyer.
Exactly.
You need to get a lawyer.
Yeah. Have you gotten a lawyer involved in this?
Well, I have. I'm in, you know, I keep holding out, you know, that this person, you know, somebody's going to respond to me, so I'm getting close to that.
I think you need to get off the phone with us.
Because it's so time limited.
Yeah, because it is time limited, and because, you know, even if you get him to respond to you now, the next time you need something, you're going to have to go through this same process, right?
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you have, okay, so let me back up a second. I want to show you my math, why I'm coming up with this, okay? The reason we get stressed out is because we're trying to control the outcome instead of focusing on the process. Let me explain what I mean by that. You know, you're trying to figure out how can I get this builder to respond to me? How can I get this builder to do what he's supposed to do? And you can't do that. You can't make that happen. But you can look back and say, what is the process I need to use to get this person to respond to me? And am I doing all I can do to make that happen? And, you know, when you look at that, you say, well, yeah, I mean, I'm doing all I can do. So what more needs to happen? Oh, well, I guess I need to get somebody to enforce this contract, which then allows you to open up and say, okay, I'm going to call the lawyer. And it's not that I have to get to a certain level of critical mass where I'm so furious and so upset that I'm going to sue everybody and let God sort it out. It's, you know, you're still in a calm enough place where you're like, you know what, this is just the next step I need to take. So if that's what I need to do, that's what I need to do. And it's like another example would be, and this isn't your situation, but you know, just to throw out examples, you know, if I'm a student and I'm worried about passing a test, and I'm trying to control the outcome, and I'm stressing out, how am I going to get an A? I can't get an A. How do I know I can get an A? You can't control that. But I can control the process by which I study, right? Or me, yesterday morning, I can use this example. When I woke up and I was in a panic about getting stuff done, you know, I was trying to control the outcome. How can I get it all done? How can I meet the deadline? How can I make sure all the information happens? But I didn't have a process, right? And so Lisa and I had to sit down and figure out a timetable and a process. So in general, what you want to do when you're stressing out about anything is recognize that you're trying to put too much energy into controlling the specific outcome. And instead of doing that, you need to step back and say, how can I refine my process to increase the likelihood of getting a better outcome? And that's something you can control. And as soon as you can focus on refining your process to get a better outcome, then new solutions start popping into your mind. You know, so my suggestion in using that formula in this case, Lori, I think your next call has to be to a lawyer, because if you let this time tick out, you're going to be stuck. And the thing is, like I said, even if he responded, even if he called you the second you got off the phone with us, how many weeks and months have you been chasing him?
Right.
You know, the next time you need something, it's going to be the same thing over and over again. That's another thing that stresses us out. We get surprised by the same thing happening over and over. It's like, well, you know, he took 6 weeks to respond last time and 10 weeks to respond the time before that and 12 weeks to respond. Who'd have thunk he would have taken 20 weeks to respond this time? Like, we do that to ourselves,
yeah.
Right? We think, well, this time it's going to be different. The best predictor of the future result is the past, you know, is your past situation. So, you know, assume this is the way it's going to be. Refine your process so that you increase the likelihood of getting the response you want. And in this case, what that means is, I think, contacting your lawyer so that he can enforce the contract. Lori, thank you so much for the call. I hope these suggestions and this general principle of managing the process as opposed to the outcome will be helpful to you as you move down the road to, you know, really getting your house in order, literally. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about stress today on our show titled Stress Less. And I wish it was as simple as just saying to you, hey, stress less. But that's not possible. So we're going to help you find grace-filled answers to the problems in your life or relationships that are stressing you out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We have to remember that God gave us a brain, and he did give us talented people in the medical field, some of whom, not all unfortunately, are following the science. And we need to do the same. We need to take precautions and, again, use common sense and our heads. But we can't go around living in fear, not doing what we are called to do. And in many cases, that is to travel, to go see loved ones, to go on a retreat, to maybe go on a pilgrimage. We have to be at all times a people of faith. And we have to remember that the phrase, be not afraid, appears some 365 times in Scripture. Coincidence? I think not.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and I'm stressing out because I'm choking on my water. Hang on.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, I'm sorry about that. Anyway, today's show is titled Stress Less. Like, you know, when sometimes things happen, you get stressed out like you're trying to get on the air and you can't talk.
That's a problem. But, yeah, well, you know, breathe it through, honey. Anyway. Breathe it through.
breath. All right. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Stress Less, as we talk about those challenges in our life or relationships that just overwhelm us sometimes, or just the sheer number of things that we have to manage. How can we approach those things gracefully? In a way that allows us to make changes so that we can do what we need to do and handle what needs to be handled without losing our minds. It is possible, I promise. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, we wanted to make sure we answered an email that we got that really kind of defines what's going on here. And this gentleman said, I'm currently going through reading the Beatitudes book, and I just finished, or, I'm sorry, the Beatitudes podcast, and I just finished an episode that really hit me hard because I was always a heavy-handed dad. And now my first batch of kids are getting older in their early teens, and I don't know how I can reverse my heavy-handed behavior. Is it possible to even undo the behavioral effects on my children of my earlier parenting?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. First of all, I'm really grateful that you were willing to reach out and the humility that you're showing on this and the interest in being a more Christ-like shepherd in your home. I think that's beautiful, one Catholic dad to another. And I'm glad the Beatitudes are helping you do that. The thing I want you to really focus on, you know, in the Beatitudes book, I talk about the most important thing, you know, because what we do is we go through the Beatitudes as a blueprint for learning to be a father as our Heavenly Father fathers us. And the first beatitude, of course, is blessed are the poor in spirit. And what does that mean? Basically, it means I need to recognize I don't know anything, right? I need God to teach me to do everything. And so the first thing I want you to do is use that prayer that I talk about in the Beatitudes like 1,000 times a day, right? Some version of, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I love my kids, I love my wife, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm figuring this out as I go. Teach me how to respond to this situation in a way that glorifies you, that helps me be my best self, and helps me bring out the best in my wife and kids. And then I want you to really reflect on what that means in a given situation. All right. Secondly, you know, you talk about having kind of a heavy-handed approach in the past. You know, realize that our, as dads, as tempting as it can be sometimes, our job isn't to kick butt and take names. Our job, right? Our job is really to teach our kids how to do what's right out of love, not fear. So how do we do that? Well, the short version is that when your kids are doing something that it's irritating you or whatever, they're not doing it to get under your skin or to cause chaos. They're doing it because they don't know how to do what they're trying to do in a healthy or godly way. So you want to back up and say, what is this kid trying to do? Or even ask them, hey, what are you trying to do right now? And then figure out together how they could do that thing, meet that intention or need in a healthier or more godly way. The other thing I'd like you to do, since this is such a big question, this is the kind of thing we deal with on Catholic Home every day in terms of providing actual coaching and advice on an ongoing basis to parents just like you who have questions about how to handle this situation. You know, I used to do this. I'd like to do it differently. What can I do? You can feel free to post as many questions as you like. Lisa and I are on there every day. Our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are there giving advice and support, plus tons of great resources to help you out. Check it out. Become a subscriber to the Catholic Home.
What do we mean when we say to the Father, hallowed be thy name? We are recognizing the holiness of God. The Catechism tells us that the holiness of God is the inaccessible center of his eternal mystery. What is revealed of his holiness in history and nature is called by Scripture glory. When God made man in his image and likeness, he crowned man with glory and honor. But when man sinned, he fell short of the glory of God. From that time on, God manifested his holiness by revealing and giving his name, beginning with Moses, in order to restore man to the image of his Creator. Finally, in the person of Jesus, God's holy name is given to us in the flesh as Savior. He reveals this through his word and through his sacrifice. At the end of Jesus' passion, the Father gives to the Son the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When children get to about age 10, they're much less naturally inclined to do something because their mom and dad said so. This isn't defiance. It represents the fact that their brains have developed to the point that they need to understand why they're doing something. Not because they want to challenge your authority, but because they have a God-given need to learn how to apply the lessons you're trying to teach them when you aren't there to tell them what to do. Kids raised with punishment-oriented strategies tend not to learn to think for themselves. They're effectively taught to follow the lead of the most commanding presence in the room. That might be okay when we're in the room with them, but when we're not, it sets our kids up to follow other leaders who have anything but their best interests in mind. How can you raise kids who know how to choose to do the right thing even when you're not around to make it happen? Check out Parenting Your Kids with Grace or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, stress less. We're talking about those situations in your life or relationships that are stressing you out. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Elisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Elisa, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Okay, it's Melissa.
Melissa.
Oh, so sorry about that. That's not what we have on the board,
but we're
grateful for the correction.
We do indeed. So what can we do for you, Melissa?
Okay. I have a daughter who has been living with her boyfriend for 2 years, and they have this precious little boy, and I don't know how to tell her. She knows this is wrong, living together. She's 34 and he's 30. He doesn't have a job. He's taking classes online. He took one subject and got really far into it. Then he got to a part where he didn't like, so he quit that. So now he's studying another subject.
Okay, but that's a separate issue. Your question is more about your daughter living with this guy. How have you tried to talk to her about it so far, and what's happened?
Well, I've told her it's wrong to be living together, and she needs to ask him to go to church with her also. But if you say that, she just gets all defensive, and she says, "I'm doing what I have to do." So
okay, and so let me ask. Is your husband involved in this? Her father?
Yes, we both are. Yes.
Well, I'm asking, has he spoken with her? How does he speak to her? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, we both do, and he has, what he says counts more than what I say, but she still won't,
Well, tell me what that means. Right. So I assume that you and your husband might have different approaches to this, because that's often happens. So how does he approach her, and what happens then?
Well, he tells her that she shouldn't be living together, and she'll listen to him. But when I say the same thing, she gets just all
defensive.
Well,
but she's not listening to him. She's still living with. Like, when you say she's listening to him, how does she listen to him? What does that mean?
She doesn't bark back at him. She just listens very quietly, but she says she has to do what she's doing.
So, Melissa, this is what I'm hearing, right? You mentioned that there's a child involved in all of this, and she doesn't say, "No, you're wrong." She doesn't say, "You know, I don't want to hear it." She says, "I have to do what I have to do." So what I'm hearing is that she feels that the only way she can take care of her child is to remain in this relationship without causing any waves between her and her child's father. So if you and your husband ever like helped her brainstorm how she could have a life without this guy and still take care of her child?
She wouldn't be able to afford it. She lives in a city with child
care. Well, so there are a lot of problems, right? And she's gotten herself in over her head. So you're absolutely right. You know, her living in sin is living in sin. It's wrong. Yeah, what she's doing is wrong. The problem is, you know, when we approach somebody from that kind of purely moralistic way, especially if they're not on the same page as we are spiritually, you know, then we end up creating more problems than we solve. You know, as parents, we want to assume that our lessons stuck with our kids. And so when they're adults and they start making choices that are contrary to how we've tried to raise them, we immediately go to, "But I taught you differently." Unfortunately, if the child isn't living according to those lessons didn't stick, and we can't appeal to those lessons as a way of getting leverage to make them change. Right? We can't say, "Well, this is wrong," because, I mean, we can say it, but it won't be effective, because she doesn't accept that it's wrong. She's not living as a Christian disciple. She didn't learn how to do that, and somehow the messages you were trying to teach her didn't connect. And so you're going to have to meet her where she's at instead of where you want her to be, which is scary. It's scary for you guys because, you know, as a parent of adult children myself, I know how scary that can be. But if you want to do more than just feel right because you done told her, right, then you're going to have to find a different way to approach this. She's telling you, I'm doing what I have to do. So what you want to say is, you know, help me understand where you're at. You know, when you say that you're doing what you have to do, what does that mean? And by the way, you know, you don't want to approach this. If you're talking to another Christian who's living a Christian life, who's working really hard to be a Christian disciple, and they're kind of stumbling and they're saying, I don't know what the right thing to do is here, you can be more direct and a little bit moralistic and say, well, look, this is what the church teaches on this, and this is what we believe as Christians, and you say that you're a Christian, so you want to live up to that.
But even then, when you care about somebody and you're calling them on to give them the support that they need to be able to exit a pattern of sin in their lives is very significant and very important.
But, you know, so in a case like this, what you really need to be doing is coming alongside of her and saying, you know, the real issue isn't so much, you know, that you're doing the wrong thing. It's that you're settling. And let me explain, you know, Melissa, why that you can put it that way. Because when we talk about sin, right, we have a tendency to think that sin just means you're breaking the law. And it does mean that on a certain level. But what it really means, what is the law? Well, the law is love, right? So when I sin, I am missing the mark in God's plan for the way I am to love and be loved. That's what that means, okay? If I'm sinning, it means I am choosing to not love or be loved the way God wants me to. I'm missing the mark. And so that's another way of saying to your daughter, you know, I just feel bad that you're settling. I feel like you're settling anyway. You know, I raised you because to know that you are a beautiful and beloved daughter of God. I raised you to have the kind of relationship where you can count on a person to be there for you and take care of you and be in a partnership with you and help lead each other to Christ. And I feel like you're settling. Now, Melissa, if you didn't raise her to do those things because of your own marriage or other struggles, that's not to judge you in any way. But it is to say that as parents, we need to kind of look at what we actually modeled to our kids too, right? Did we model that kind of prayerful, healthy, intimate partnership where, you know, we really were taking, and if not, what do we need to do now to work on our marriage so that we can be a more effective model and witness to our kids? But I'll leave that aside for a second. In talking to her about this, it's not you're breaking the rules. It's I love you and I want more for you. And as your mom, you can be mad at me all you want, but as your mom, I'm always going to want the best for you. And I feel like you're settling. And I know you're scared, but help me understand why you feel like this is the best you can do. And what can I do to help get you to a place where you realize that you're worth more and you deserve better? So, you know, we want to talk about these things in those sorts of terms, because when you approach somebody in that more moralistic way, you're assuming that they're on the same spiritual and doctrinal page as you, and your daughter is clearly not. So you're talking past her, which is why she's getting defensive, because she feels like you're not really seeing where she's at on any level and that you're just preaching at her, which turns her into more of a project than your daughter. So I want you to take these things to heart and really pray about the best way to continue to approach her and build relationship, you know, with her and this young man. As much as you don't like him and as irresponsible as he seems, you know, to paraphrase Sun Tzu, keep your daughter close and your daughter's boyfriend closer. You know, I mean, the best way you can shepherd them or mentor them to a healthier relationship is by being around as much as you can, by supporting in healthy and appropriate ways. There's a difference between accompaniment and approval, though. Accompaniment is where you say, I'm going to come alongside of you and help in appropriate and healthy and godly ways. Approval is just saying, oh, everything you're doing is awesome. I mean, she knows that everything she's doing isn't awesome. You've communicated that to her. So now your job is to really come alongside of her and say, how can I support you in getting to the place where you realize what you're worth and what you deserve from as a beloved daughter of God in this relationship? And you work toward getting to that goal. We talk more about this step by step in our book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Again, it's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com, and it really talks through how we can have the kind of relationship with our adult kids that makes them want to listen to us, that makes them open to what we have to say, and allows us to continue to mentor and shepherd them, even in their adulthood, and especially when they're making choices that really are not in their best interests or contrary to the faith. So that's having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters. I really encourage you to check it out at CatholicCounselors.com, Melissa. Thank you so much for the call. And we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Stress Less. We're talking about how to approach the problems in your life or relationships that are stressing you out in ways that allow you to do what you need to do, but keeping your head about you and feeling confident moving forward. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Now, I will just speak for myself. You know, when I grew up hearing this verse, I kind of thought it meant if I just brought all my stress to Jesus, he would magically make it all go away. And then when he didn't, I felt guilty, because what's wrong with me that I still feel stressed out? That is not what this scripture means at all, right? Jesus isn't saying, come to me all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will magically make it all go away. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? It means that we still have to do the work, but he wants to teach us how to do it in a way that allows us to stay peaceful, centered, confident, and trusting in his grace, knowing that he is giving us everything we need to take this one step at a time, and we don't have to worry. We can do what needs to be done. We can solve the problems that need to be solved, handle the situations that need to be handled, but we bring it to him and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this in a way that glorifies you, that helps me be my best self and brings out the best in those around me. Teach me. And then he will lead us step by step through it in a way that enables us to feel more peaceful and confident in his grace. With that, we get a good break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about our show titled Stress Less at 877-573-7825.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to his voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sick. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, stress less as we talk about managing stressful situations gracefully.
Before we take our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another longtime EWTN radio partner, Siouxland Catholic Radio, with two stations in Sioux City and Storm Lake, Iowa, is celebrating 17 years with EWTN.
17 years. Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations, Anne Reed and her whole team at Siouxland Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN.
They're truly amazing people. We're so grateful for the work they do.
And with that, let's go back to our calls. Lisa, who's up next?
We're talking with Rosario, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Rosario, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, thank you for picking up my call. I was just calling to see if I can have an advisor or something. So I'm planning my wedding, and I think it's been a little stressful and overwhelming. And I think I'm not having joy of planning it.
What parts of it? Because there's so many parts to planning a wedding. There's the actual details. There's the relationships. There's everybody's wants and needs. What's the part that's driving you a little crazy?
I think it's just like finding the photographer, the video, because I'm like planning it, mm-hmm. And then also like a lot of thinking about my new life. I have to move. We're having finding a new apartment, and so it's just like a lot of research, a lot of finding things, and I think that's.
And is your fiance helping with any of this? Like, if you're planning the wedding, is he looking at places to live, or are you just all on your own?
He is helping me. He has he's working right now, and then he's looking for the places to stay. And I'm kind of more on the planning the wedding. But he is helping.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear that you're not in it alone. That's really important. There are lots of practical things like, you know, the wedding planners and, the charts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But really, what I want to focus on here is your mindset going through all of this, right? I mean, the fact is, handling a lot of things is stressful. In fact, there are two kinds of stress. There's what's called distress, which is bad stress, and then there's eustress. Eustress is E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. That's good stress. Which sounds funny because we don't tend to think of stress as being good, but basically eustress is the stress that accompanies good things. Because stress is just about change. Anytime we go through a change of some sort, we experience stress. There can be bad changes which cause distress, or good changes like getting married, which cause eustress. And it just means that there's a lot of stuff to handle. Now, I'm going to repeat what I was saying to our previous caller, who was dealing with, a contractor problem with her house in Florida. The more we get stressed out, the more we're focusing on the outcome instead of the process, right? So there's a lot of outcomes you have to worry about right here. I want to find the right apartment. I want to get the photographer and the videographer, and I want to get the venue, and I want to do how do I get all those things done? And we can focus so much on making the thing happen that we don't focus on our process. And that's what stresses us out. You want to step back and ask yourself, how can I refine my process so that I have a better likelihood of getting these things done in a peaceful way? So, for instance, instead of just handling things as they come up, maybe you're going to, this is just a suggestion, it's an example, you may or may not do this. But you might say, you know what, I'm going to take like an hour a day to sit down and, you know, make a list of the things that I have to do today and tomorrow. And I'm going to do those things in that time, as opposed to handling them all as they come up on the fly as I go through my day. And I have this call while I'm trying to take this meeting, and I have to do this thing while I'm doing that thing.
And there's all those, you know, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I forgot to do that. What about this other thing? This person brought this up to me. Having it written down and concretized and saying, I'm going to handle this today, this tomorrow, these are these times. The more you have that written plan to hold on to, so you brain dump it all, and then come up with a plan for it. That's going to take down the stress a great deal.
But the larger point is the process. It's not so much the specific things that you do.
Like, right.
These are just examples, right? You may or may not do any of those things. That's not the point. The point is, what process do you need to do? How can you refine your process so that you can get what needs to be done? And, you know, part of that process should be, in addition to making that list of things, praying about this every day. Lord, help me to keep my head about me, right? This is a joyful time. Help me to approach all of this stuff in a way that allows me to be joyful. And even that prayer is going to allow you to remind yourself that this is supposed to be a joyful thing. And when you're not joyful, it allows you to step back and say, you know what? What do I need to do to remind myself of, you know, why I'm doing this? And instead of just kind of plowing headlong into it and losing myself in the process.
And I really encourage you to be praying with your fiancé every single day. Same way. Lord, thank you that we're getting to get married, that we found each other, that you put us together. Please help us to remain joyful while we plan this wedding and plan our new life together, including where we live. Let things go well, but let us treat each other with kindness and love and experience the joy of this and your provision for us together.
Yeah, and you know, we don't, even as a church, do a great job of teaching couples to pray together. But I want you to use this time to do that every day. You know, whether you're on the phone or in person, just, you know, Lord, you know, bless our relationship. Teach us how to be the couple that you want us to be. Help us to be joyful through this time and to approach all the stuff we have to do in a way that let's be joyful and get it all done too. Right. And then next, don't be afraid of asking for help. I mean, you said that your fiance is helping you, but then you kind of described that you're doing a lot of the planning. He's your partner, right? Let him help with the planning too. We a lot of times we're like, well, guys don't do that. Guys don't do that, but men do.
Yeah, men do, and also they will rise to the occasion of what people expect from them. And too often, we as women think it's our job to do it all, and so we scat them out of the way, and we do it all, and then we end up getting stressed, and it's not healthy for us.
So don't be afraid to ask and expect your fiancé to be a partner in planning this wedding, because that's an important part of really knowing how the two of you are going to approach everything in your relationship moving forward. This is a big project. So how will you approach other big projects in your marriage? Well, the way you plan your wedding tends to predict how you're going to plan a lot of the other big projects that you have to deal with in your relationship. So, you know, work on that process. Make sure you have a good process for working on this big project together as a way of learning the initial steps of handling all the other projects that you and your husband are going to have to handle over the next 50, 60, 70 years. So, Rosario, I wish you all the best in your upcoming wedding, and I will certainly add you and your fiancé to our More to Life prayer intentions list. But I just want you to really focus on that idea of not so much controlling the outcomes and getting it all done, but focusing on the process. How do I refine my process so that I can increase the likelihood of getting this done in a desirable and peaceful, joyful way? And I want to thank you so much for the call. And I just want to leave on that note for everybody. You know, it's a really important insight. It sounds simplistic, but it makes all the difference in the world. You cannot control the outcome, but that doesn't mean you can't control anything. It means that you focus on what you can control, which is your process. You know, if I'm like I was saying before, if I'm studying for a test, you know, or I can't control the grade.
Yeah.
I can control how I study and make sure that my process for studying is good. If I'm applying for a job, I can't control whether I get the job or not, but I can focus on controlling the process by which I get together a really good resume and I network and I meet people and I apply for things and I refine that process. Don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again expecting to get a different result. I look at, what do I need to do to refine that process? Same thing with Rosario. If this isn't working, what do I need to do differently? Or you gave the example of even our daughter, who was having some rough mornings
That's
with
right.
her son. And she, you know, instead of just assuming that everybody's been in a grumpy mood in the mornings, because that's just
going to be this way every morning of our lives.
She gave herself permission to say, how do I need to focus on my process in the mornings to set things off better? So she started to do a little dance party in the mornings after everybody got up and woke up,
put on
some fun music, and danced with the toddler, and now everybody's happy. And so by refining the process, we can increase the likelihood of getting a less stressful outcome. If you're looking for more ways to apply that in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com where we can help hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.